Hey, Jets fans, and welcome back to Game Over Winnipeg. My name is Liz. I'm one of your regular hosts, and I'm here to talk about the gift that keeps on giving, which is just the Winnipeg Jets as a hockey team, as an NHL hockey team right now. And I'm so excited to talk about this 5-0 win over the Columbus Blue Jackets tonight. I am so lucky to be joined by Brian of the Level Flight podcast today. Super fired up to talk about this continued Jets hot streak with him. Brian, how are you feeling tonight?
Feeling great, feeling a lot better after seeing Mark Scheifele coming onto the ice to celebrate with the rest of the guys. I was genuinely terrified for where we were going to, you know, hear where he would be ending up. But after a puck to the ear, all smiles after that one.
Oh my goodness, I was saying to Brian before we jumped on the stream, like, I'm not one to be left speechless ever. I'm quite the talker, as I'm sure you all know. But when I saw him out there, no helmet on, the big ear-to-ear grin, no pun intended, sorry, maybe too soon. I just, the weight that was lifted off of my shoulders, Julian in the chat is saying, and yeah, we all said it, war flashbacks, absolute war flashbacks. Like that, one of the most devastating, probably the most devastating play of Jets 2.0 was the Nikola Ehlers shot that hit, you know, by some awful fluke, Brian Little in the ear and ultimately ended his career. Just super, you know, devastating, especially considering, you know, you never want to see that happen to anybody, but someone who was as important to the city of Winnipeg and the relocation as Brian Little was. But you know what? We don't need to go down that train because Brian Little seems to be doing really well and the Jets are doing super well and we're really happy right now. So let's talk about this win. And listen, I want to start by saying I have been so high on the Jets and, you know, saying a lot of good things about them. This was a game that was a perfect testament to me of, like, what's going right for the Jets right now because, and this is a whole, train of thought I'm going to bring you on with me, so bear with me. They didn't play a super great hockey game today. But the thing is, with a team like this, is that what you don't want them to do is ride these hot streaks and then have these super low lows to complement the super high highs. What you want is for them to play hockey games, and then when they neutralize a little bit, when they kind of regress back down to just playing, whatever, hockey, they still find ways to pot important goals, to stop the big ones, and those big, big moments of, you know, shots that can, you know, the Cole Perfetti, you know, tap in front of the net, making sure you actually get that in the net so that all of a sudden you develop a buffer for yourself and it doesn't matter that you're not playing as strong of a game, you know, as you might like to. And, you know, they've played so many strong games over the last 2 months that I don't really care that this game was maybe not in my top five Jets games I've seen in the last little bit. But good teams find ways to win. And maybe that's a Kevin Sawyer cliche of me, but I'm going to say it and I'm going to stick with it. What do you think?
Well, that was one of those things, too, where when teams are struggling, like, you know, the Jackets have all season, they're not exactly going to be that team that's, you know, struggling but still managing to stay afloat. So there's a level of capitalizing that you really have to do. And it felt like any chance that the Jets got, it wasn't one of those games, like, you know, even though, like, the loss against Chicago and then, like, you know, the other night, you're seeing them where they're shooting the lights out and they're firing anything and everything. But tonight was one of those ones that just the volume shooting wasn't there as much, but everything was going in. So, you know, if things are going well, like it's just the way things have been lately, where it seems like regardless of what's going on, they're just finding ways to, you know, get it done. They had a power play goal late, even, you know, they moved some guys around. Lowry came on to the first unit in place of Scheifele and took 16 seconds to make it 5-0. I was one of those things where you're happy to see these games that maybe they weren't playing their best against a team that wasn't, you know, great. But when you're not at your best and you're still beating teams 5-0, regardless of who it is, it says a lot about where your game's currently at.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I got to ask, you know, five goals here. Which is your favorite one? What was your favorite goal of the night?
Favorite goal, Sandberg to Perfetti right beside the net there. I love those little passes that catch the goalies a little bit off balance. And Tarasov just could not fathom the fact that that pass was there already before he even turned to, you know, see it. And I mean, first of two on the night any Cole Perfetti goal for me is my favorite goal of the night. And he had two tonight, so those are my two.
Yeah, no, super fair. And I'd love to know, everyone in the chat, let's see if everyone's on the same page as Brian. Was that your favorite goal of the night? We got five to choose from. I don't know. Like, they were all I loved all of them in so many capacities, but I think I have to hand it to the Josh Morrissey clapper because those just hit every single time. And like, and even, you know, the little toe pass undress Adam Fantilli from Cole Perfetti on a second goal was my close second, I think. But Josh Morrissey, masterclass of a shot. That's a Josh Morrissey goal if I've ever seen one. But I thought he had a pretty good game tonight. Any thoughts on that player and what you saw from him tonight?
Well, I think with what we're seeing from Morrissey this year, I mean, it's very explosive when you just absolutely load up from the one of the circles and just fire it. But he is producing at such an incredible level again. But I think it's also because the rest of the team is doing just so well. I feel like it's not as like big of a shock to everyone. So you're looking at a guy who's creating more chances probably than he was last year, but a lot of them are, you know, finding their ways to other players, and he's just creating a lot. I've talked about this in the past on whether it was the, you know, the Level Fly podcast or in an article that I've written. But him and DeMelo do so well of creating defense by using their ability to transition out of their zone. And the best defense, in my opinion, is when you're not in your zone at all. And I find that whenever you see Morrissey on the ice, he's typically in you know, in the offensive zone. But even tonight, like, there was situations where he would just come flying from across the ice and break up a play when it looked like Columbus had a clear and open shot. Like, he's just feeling it right now. He's been feeling it for a while, and it's nice to see him following up such an unreal season last year, with what he's doing now. It's weird to me though that it's not as big. I'm not saying it's not a big deal, but it doesn't seem like it's as big of a deal because everyone is doing so well, and it just feels like it's just one of the other performances that is just so good this year.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that's one of the parts that's so nice about this team is that no one is really having to punch above their weight class as much as, you know, some teams have with some of their big star players where, and even if Josh Morrissey were to, yeah, like, you know, slow down a little bit, everyone seems to be playing, you know, good hockey right now where you don't have to focus on the storylines of anyone and almost you almost can't. Connor Hellebuyck is having almost a career season right now and we're talking about it, but we're not like, you know, it's not making headlines in the city of Winnipeg because A, we're kind of used to it by now, but more importantly, B, it's just that everyone is worth talking about right now in a good way, which is not something I feel like I've ever, well, not ever said. I probably said it yesterday and the day before and, you know, in the last little bit, but seasons prior is more what I mean. I just feel like I haven't seen as much of a success by committee as I have from this team this year. And even in this game, you know, two goals from Cole Perfetti, a Brendan Dillon goal, a Josh Morrissey goal, a power play goal from, like, you know, it's random parts of the lineup. And speaking of the Brendan Dillon goal, it was that play to me, and if you didn't see it or if you don't remember exactly what led to that goal, go watch that again to know exactly what the biggest change to me in the Winnipeg Jets and how they're playing hockey this year is exactly what that goal encompasses. Not just the fact that it was finished properly, but the fact that it was such a clean transition from right in front of your own zone, right in front of your net, pardon me, in your own zone with proper puck management, a smart exit pass, proper carrying, like, you know, there's so many pieces that contribute to that goal. That is a Winnipeg Jets goal, and that is why the Jets are winning hockey games right now. I do you think that though had anything to do with the fact that especially early in this game, this was, for lack of better terms, the Columbus Blue Jackets?
I mean, I'm always of the mindset that you can never really underestimate, you know, a team, especially in hockey, where it's obviously there are the good teams, there's the bad teams, and there's a bunch of teams in the middle. But I feel like in terms of how things can happen, there's so much of like a luck-based element to it that we've seen it in the past, where like even like the game against Chicago, where the Jets unbelievably outplayed them for so long and then ended up losing that game because they just didn't get some bounces. But it's a level of you have to play your best against whoever it is. And we've seen it this season, and obviously, like, we've talked about it a lot, where they have lost some games to teams lower than them in the standings. And it happens. But when you're not taking teams at the surface level and looking like this is, they've got some good guys here. They can somehow find ways to win. Then you come out and you play the exact same level that you would play against, Colorado, Boston, and then you beat, the doors off of them. And it's just when you play your game, it doesn't matter who the opponent is. And I think that's what they've really figured out here. And with that, I also think that it's a level of confidence too, that they've realized that there is no opponent in this league that they think can, match up with them. This is the team to beat, and whether you're bottom half of the league, top half of the league, doesn't matter. We're gonna give them the best effort they can, and it'll typically end up with them winning.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think you do make a good point with how every night you're playing against a professional hockey team, right? And there are certain things though that I find that with teams like Columbus that are maybe a little bit lower in the standings and stuff like that make them a little bit almost harder to play against in certain instances. Where in this game, I really noticed it, and someone in the chat is saying nice hat and give me for those of you who don't know, I love the Columbus Blue Jackets because I I'm a Pierre-Luc Dubois fan first and a Winnipeg Jets fan second. So when Pierre-Luc Dubois was drafted by the Columbus Blue Jackets, I had to become a Columbus Blue Jackets fan. And then when my second favorite player was traded there in Patrick Laine, I had to remain a Columbus Blue Jackets fan. So it's been a whole journey with my boys, with my special boys. So I'm going to talk a little bit nice about them. And I think that one thing about this team that I noticed tonight was how fast they are. And what I mean by that is not, when I talk fast, I don't mean skating. I'm talking about how quick. There is not as much confident puck carrying that you see from like a Josh Morrissey, Neil Pionk type, or Nikolaj Ehlers, whatever, from that you see on the Jets. They're moving that puck at a speed that I don't know if I see as much, from some of the stronger opponents that the Winnipeg Jets have played, or just any hockey game that you'd watch. And the pro of that for the Columbus Blue Jackets is that you kind of put people a little bit on edge because it's a little bit less predictable and all these kinds of things. But the con there, of course, is that it's a lot less controlled. So I found that, that's why I thought tonight was a good transition game for the Jets, because there were those pucks that they were able to jump on. But there were a couple moments, couple shots here and there in front of Connor Hellebuyck that I thought came from the fact that there were two one-touch passes in a row, or like a random kind of passing sequence that I feel like wasn't probably written out on a whiteboard before the game, sort of thing, because they're just a little bit, there's so much young, good talent on that team, and I think you see more of the hockey instincts, if I may, in some of these instances where they're kind of playing more of a scattered looking game, at least from the outside eye. And I'm watching the Jets a lot more closely than I'm the Blue Jackets. So if you have any Blue Jackets fans in the chat here that think I'm wrong, maybe I am. But if you have a Kent Johnson or an Adam Fantilli out there, and the play isn't there because the Winnipeg Jets defense is so good, or because maybe there isn't something going right with the Columbus Blue Jackets offense, you're going to see them be able to make those small plays that come from just having that much young raw talent that's hasn't been not coached out of them yet. But we know that people kind of amalgamate with their systems and they change the way they play as they get more acclimatized to the NHL. But did you have any thoughts on the Columbus Blue Jackets game as a whole tonight and what they delivered in the Canada Life Center?
Yeah, like I mean, as you said it, like there's a lot of young guys on that team, and there's also a lot of guys that I think that they have a little more to give than I think they've been, given credit for. And you're also seeing, proven NHL players struggling at a level they haven't in their entire. Like for me, Johnny Gaudreau doesn't look like. Obviously, he's getting older, and there's the aging curve. Aside from Sidney Crosby, has no exceptions. Where eventually you're going to get to a point where you're not doing what you used to be able to do. But seeing what he did for so many years in Calgary, and then since he came to Columbus, it's just he looks like an entirely different player. But I truly think that there's a level of chaos in their game that can both provide them with some excitement for their fans. And you got guys like Kent Johnson who have just unreal skill that hasn't really transferred to the NHL level consistently. Part of that's just, deployment. Part of that's usage. He spent some time in the AHL this year. But when you have guys who have just raw skill like that, and we can't forget what we've seen from Patrick Laine in the past. Obviously, he's not what he, his potential for me, like you can still see it with some of the stuff that he does, but he's been really hurt. situation in Columbus for him has not been great. But I mean, you can still see it when he's healthy and he's just ripping shots. Like, you look at what they can do, and if they just have like a few good lines that they can kind of put together that just stay afloat, I think that would be a level of success for them. And by success, I just mean not sitting around the bottom of the league like they have. Like, they have some talent on this roster that, if put together properly, I think they could at least come out of the basement a little bit. But I think in the next couple years, if they stack the cupboards properly, because they've got some rental candidates coming up as well. So I think that they have potential. But the chaos in their game, maybe that's coaching, I don't know. Maybe the chaos in their game is just a little bit too, much for them to overcome. But yeah, sorry, Pascal Vincent. I don't know if it's working right now.
No, for sure. And I think you're right. And I could talk for I don't even know how long about some of the fun talent they have coming up. Like, I feel like we still don't talk enough about Yegor Chinakov. Like, he is the coolest. And, like, but again, it's the same thing that you said. Maybe not fully translated to the NHL level yet. I know he's been here for a couple of years already, but it's gonna come, and I believe in it the same way. He's drafted the same year as someone like Cole Perfetti, who's, getting better with every single game that passes, especially, in a game like tonight. So, you can't count any of these kids out yet, and we know that as they continue to shore up that lineup, there's definitely some potential there. So, big fan of those guys, and always rooting for their success in the Eastern Conference, especially when they play against some of our teams up north here. And I, really hope they stick it to them. They tend to be the kryptonite of the Toronto Maple Leafs, which always cracks me up. But I'll always rooting for their success, and glad they gave the Jets a good matchup tonight, and one that was not reflected in the final score in any capacity. By my books, I think the score made it look like the Winnipeg Jets came in and trounced them and just destroyed them from end to end. And I didn't feel that way watching that game. And part of, what reflects in that score is the goaltending. So, the new mayor of Winnipeg, Mr. Chuck Hellebuyck, 3D printing, legend, international influencer, or whatever we're calling him, back in the building tonight. He got to go on the mentors trip, which gave us so much content. I think I tweeted the other day, I was like, I'm going to remember this mentors trip forever. Like, it's so compatible with the good vibes that we've seen lately from this team. It keeps going, and I guess it's generational at this point. But Chuck Hellebuyck was in the building tonight, live tweeting the game as always.
He even, like, mid-game, he just tweeted out that he was enjoying a Stella
Stella.
Artois. Just he's the vibes are high, regardless of if you're playing, if you're related to a team member, the fans, it doesn't matter. The vibes around the team are so high right now that you can just post a picture of yourself having a beer at the game. Just that's all you need.
Oh, he's a guy being a dude. Like, that's absolutely, and it was so good. He's live tweeting this, and I'm live reading these to my parents. I'm like, oh, guys, the second period's about to start. Chuck Hellebuyck just told us. And so, but obviously, I could talk about Chuck Hellebuyck for a while. We're having a good time with him, had a couple laughs about him and the content we've seen from him. But his son gets a shutout tonight. I guess that is a storyline that we should talk about, and he's part of the reason that this score looked the way it did. Obviously, when you have a world-class goaltender behind you, you will have a couple games with scores that are tweaked a little bit in your favor, and tonight was one of them. What did you think of his performance?
I felt like there was a lot of just very easy saves for him, like, positionally. Like, it just felt like he was in the right spots for most of the night. Like, his anticipation was great. His side-to-side movement was great. It's been so good over the last while too. Like, since that slow start of his, I think he's had one game since, like, the beginning of November with a save percentage below 915, I think. So he's been absolutely unreal. But I think it's what's interesting too is the chances that Columbus did actually get, he made it look easy, even though it very clearly was not. Like, there was the play I remember off the faceoff where it was a very quick shot, and he just quickly down to the butterfly, snared it with the glove, and, like, very flashy, but in a very simple way. But then there was another thing too, where he got across and made a great toe save on a in close, chance. And it's one of those things where when you're on, you're on. And he's been on for a long time, and hard saves look easy for guys that are just feeling it. And I honestly think that when Connor Hellebuyck is playing at the level of just confidence that he is. I don't think there is any team in the league that looks at that matchup and say, I don't want to shoot on this guy.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I think the positional piece, like we talk about the Andre Pavlovs of the world, right? Where and not to bring him up, but I feel like he's my Roman Empire. I think I bring up Andre Pavlov more often than I should. But like with the whole idea of the flashy save that comes out, and like you said, making it look easy, and that's what it means to be a good goaltender. It's not making the flashy save. It's getting into the position so you don't have to. And I think it was another night of that. Just kind of a day that ends in Y for Connor Hellebuyck and for this team. So I think a game like tonight, it's really important to sort of acknowledge that, there's a fast start, they come out the gate flying, and immediately I was like, oh yeah, this is a team that's first in the NHL. And then they took the foot off the gas a little bit in the first, and the fact that they can have those momentum swings, but they don't ever let it get too high, too low, or anything like that, so that they can continue to sustain positive performance and keep games in control, I think is just what I want to commend the most about this team. And the fact that we've seen way more high highs than we have low lows, and the fact that they're able to maintain those and not get burnt out by them or anything like that, and they're not going to crash afterwards, I think is something that I really applaud about them, and is a big reason that I think they're able to succeed, is just that discipline, the motivation that kind of goes hand in hand and helps with those big wins that we've seen. So that kind of wraps up the main stuff I wanted to talk about this game. But a couple extracurriculars here we could talk about. Rasmus Kupari was activated from the injured reserve this morning, I believe, and was sent down to the Manitoba Moose for a conditioning stint. So, obviously that's probably a good thing for him to do. He's been out for a little while. And isn't necessarily probably going to be ready to be a high impact player the moment he comes in. We've been raving about the fourth line for the last few games now. Everyone's talking about how the third line is untouchable, first line is untouchable. I'm not as convinced of all those things as everybody else seems to be, especially with the third line, with a certain right winger that's maybe not quite up to my expectations from earlier this fall. But all that's to be said, looking at a hockey stat card or expected goals percentages or anything like that tonight, fourth line was fine. Like, no beef with them or anything like that. But not crazy dominant in their matchup by any means. What do you do, Brian, with Rasmus Kupari? Is he, when he's done his conditioning stint, are you putting him in the lineup?
I think the way I was talking to someone about this today, and my thought is, when he comes back, I think you have a long look at levels of sort of production, because you're not going to get goals and points and four straight from Dom Toninato every week. But I also think that when you're playing a fourth line, as long as you make up a certain level of similar, play styles, like if you don't change the game, game plan, you're probably going to find the same level of success when you're playing that type of matchup. So with Kupari, I wouldn't necessarily put it past the Jets to maybe have him a couple games, just sitting in the press box at this point, with the level of sort of compete that you've seen from this fourth line. But I'm also of the mindset that if you plugged him in for Toninato, you're probably not losing all that much. It's not going to have that level of impact that, say, he was a top line player, and you take him out, and then if you put him back in, it's a no-brainer. It's one of those things where you can sort of trade these little tactics and everything from a fourth line player that you're not really going to lose out much if you swap Toninato for Kupari. But I also think that it just gives them some depth, because let's be real, like, we're getting into the dog days of the season here. Someone's likely going to get hurt at some other point. You're not going to run through the rest of the season totally healthy. So having that, ability to see that Toninato looked great, especially early in his little stint here. He's come back down to earth a little bit, but that fourth line is still, providing a nice little spark. But I think with putting Kupari in, you're not going to gain or lose anything. It's not like it's moving the needle like crazy. So if you're looking to get him back in the lineup, which I'm assuming they are, I think that that would probably be the move for it, and I wouldn't be upset with it.
Yeah, no, and I think that's the most logical way to look at it, as unexciting as it may be, is just the fact that ultimately when it comes down to a fourth line, generally speaking, they're not winning or losing you a hockey game ever. They're kind of just neutralizing it and not, like you said, moving the needle too much in either direction. But I think with the way the Winnipeg Jets are structured right now, you make a good point that, he can slot into that lineup. It's not going to change a ton about the way that they're playing, because I think the way their lines are balanced right now is really nicely in that I don't feel as though anyone is, dragging their other two line mates along, or I'll go with one guy is not ever really dragging any of their line mates to the point where if that guy were to be removed, the line would sink. And not to say that, obviously losing a player like Nikolaj Ehlers or Mark Scheifele would have a detrimental impact to the first line, but it's not going, you can move players around, all those kinds of things, but I don't think this lineup is as volatile to losing a certain player is going to dramatically change the way they're playing right now because of how much, and I'm going to keep using the term success by committee because that's what's going on, but how much, balanced lineup, success there is right now. So I think you're right, and I think, it'll be interesting to see what happens. But obviously we had the scare today, and we didn't talk about it a whole ton because it isn't really much of a storyline now that we know that he's okay. Julian mentioned in the chat earlier that he had to get a couple stitches. They just held him out because, there's no point in bringing him, rushing him back into a game like that. How quickly can things change on a dime like that, right? Because even looking right now at some of the trading block people that are coming up, like, I really don't, like, obviously, I'm not married to Alex Iafallo or Mason Appleton in my middle six, but, like, I'm not sitting here being like, wow, I desperately need this guy to come in and shore up my lineup. But that's not the reality, like you said, because one small play that takes out any of the three guys specifically on that top line, uh-oh. Right? So getting some insurance pieces, I think, would be massive, for this team. And yeah, a game like this, it kind of gives you that down-to-earth reminder that, players are fragile and things can happen at any given time. So thank goodness Mark Scheifele is okay. I hope that he's right back into the lineup on Thursday. But yeah, I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on, do we go down the Ville Heinola route? Because I believe that one is also on the mend and bound to be back anytime soon. And it's a similar position. Well, not similar at all, actually, because this is a player that hasn't played at all this season, coming into a much more competitive core that is having pretty much everyone overperforming expectations right now. Do you think much changes when he gets activated?
No, because I also he's got the level of ease for the Jets too, where there's no worry about giving him a conditioning loan and then having that expire, and then you have to bring him back up. He's still got, this is his, I think it's his last year of waiver exemption, so he could just go down there for a while. And unfortunately for him, despite winning a spot out of camp over Nate Schmidt and Dylan Sandberg have now become a defensive juggernaut. And I very clearly, because that was the other thing too, was early in the season, it was clear that the coaching staff also was just not sold on Nate Schmidt playing every night. They were rotating, they were running 11-7. They were rotating in Stanley and Chisholm. And now he's in every night, and they're getting media attention, and Sandberg as well is getting this level of praise for his defensive play, and his potential is so great for as a defensive defender. And now with Ville coming back, I don't think the Jets are in any rush to be like, okay, this guy's coming back in. That being said, as we said, injuries can happen on flip of a coin, essentially, on some plays. Like we saw, like obviously there's some plays that shouldn't happen, like the Connor injury happens because of a knee on knee, but that happens instantaneously and then suddenly he's gone for 6 weeks. So something could happen to someone, and Ville, all that he can do at this point is go down to the Moose whenever he's ready, get back up to speed and be ready, because as much as I would love to see him in that lineup, I don't see it happening, at least at this point. But it's tough because he would won that spot out of camp. But with how things are clicking right now, it's not meant to be at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it is the kind of thing, and if I can say it, you guys can say it too. Like, it's a c'est la vie sort of thing. Like, listen, like, it's not, it sucks. Like, don't get me wrong, dude, but I'm sure everyone is looking at the situation being like, man, the fact that the reason we can't get you in is because people are playing that well. Like, that's a situation that everyone loves to have, and I think people understand the reality of it, and you know, we just kind of got to go with it and see what happens, and like you said, you never know. So the guys who are waiting in the wings just have to be ready to jump in. But speaking of ready to jump in, we are ready to jump into another game at home against the Chicago Blackhawks on Thursday. Brian's actually going to be back with me. We're going to do a little game over roundtable. It's going to be super fun. But the Chicago Blackhawks, like, low-key be the Winnipeg Jets kryptonite in the last little bit, because they are the ones that are harming that perfect record that they were trying to achieve over this little stretch in a game that the Winnipeg Jets probably definitely should have won. So I think, you know, that's definitely lingering in the back of my mind. But what are you expecting going into this Thursday game, and what do you expect to see from the Jets or from the Blackhawks?
I think this is one of those games where I really hope that they come out strong, because they did exactly what they needed to do in Chicago a couple weeks back. And unfortunately, Peter Mrazek turned into prime Dom Hasek. And it was just a level of they could not beat him with anything. And obviously that ended up, the issue for me with that game wasn't the fact that, you know, they lost, but it was the fact that they had chances on the power play against a penalty kill that is ranked, I think, below the Jets in the league. And they went, I think, over two or over three in that game. But as we saw tonight, if you're a good team, you will be able to capitalize on your opportunities. And I'm just hoping that they just play their game, and with what they've done lately, as long as they stick to, you know, their fundamentals, in theory, they should come away with the win. But obviously, it's, as I said, it's never a given. So you just hope that they play to their strengths and keep it rolling.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's all you can hope for. So I'm assuming, I don't remember what, I think Connor Hellebuyck might be starting again, and then they'll throw Brossoit in against the Flyers this weekend, maybe. I don't know. We'll have to see how that goes. But other than that, I don't think we're expecting any lineup changes. Hopefully, fingers crossed, that Mark Scheifele makes his way back in on Thursday. And yeah, we'll be here after that game talking hockey. I'm going to be actually going to the game, hence why I'm looking for some insurance pieces. And that's you this time, not, you know, the Elias Lindholms of the world, to come in. We're going to do a fun little chat. Him, Brian's going to be there, and we're going to get Nick from Top Line to come, and it's going to be a super good time. So we will all be here. For those of you who are in the chat listening live, thank you so much for being here. I see a lot of our regular names and faces. We have Lauren from Game Over Toronto's in here too. Thank you so much, everyone, for being here and listening live. Make sure you guys like the stream. It's always appreciated. And I know you're probably getting tired of me saying this, but we are so stinking close to hitting 100,000 subscribers, so please make sure you hit subscribe if you haven't already done so. Brian, before we sign off, where can everybody find you and tell them a bit about what you do?
Yeah, so you can find me on any platform at YWG Brian, but you can also find me on the Level Flight podcast. Me, Connor, and Elliot put out an episode a week, so I believe we are recording tomorrow morning, so a new episode will be dropping on Thursday morning of the Hawks game. We'll definitely have thoughts on this one and a lot of stuff we were talking about. Probably some thoughts on, you know, what's going to happen with some injury, you know, recovery and everything. So yeah, you can find us there at Level Flight WPG on everything. And then just keep an eye out for sort of my weekly articles that I write for the Hockey Writers. So usually sometime later in the week, you'll see something from me. So keep an eye out for that. Writing about the Jets again this year. So certainly a lot to talk about this season. So I've been very blessed to have, you know, a lot of good things to say. So yeah, you can find me there. But yeah, all of that will be on my Twitter account.
100%. Yeah, it never gets old to get excited about this team. And I the Level Flight podcast, I got to give a big shout out to you guys. You guys grind away and put out really good content really frequently, which is not easy to do. One day I can rest assured that my bio is going to say also claim to fame was the first guest ever on the Level Flight podcast when you guys become, you know, biggest podcast in Winnipeg. Great show. So make sure you guys check out Brian, Connor, and Elliot's show over there.
You really appreciate it.
And thank you so much again for joining me tonight. It's been super fun. And make sure everyone, yeah, you follow Brian, like you said, on Twitter at YWGBrian, Brian with an I, and follow me on Twitter at Liz Hood. Make sure you subscribe to SCPN and catch up with all the fun stuff that we're up to over here across all different teams and different sports as well. Lots of good shows always going on here. We'll be back on Thursday talking more hockey and hopefully looking to extend this win streak against the Chicago Blackhawks at another home game. Thank you so much, Brian. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. We will see you next time.